From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, it's time for Eastern Standard. Today, an opportunity to meet and interact with the new president of EKU, and we'll have a discussion of issues and challenges facing this university and others in the Commonwealth. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen, and joining me in the studio is Dr. Michael T. Benson, named this past spring as the 12th president of Eastern Kentucky University. President Benson took office on August 1st. He's a native of Salt Lake City and raised in Texas. He has nearly 20 years of administrative experience in higher education, over a decade of which has been spent as an institutional president. Dr. Benson comes to the Commonwealth after almost 7 years as president of Southern Utah University. Welcome to Eastern Standard, Dr. President Michael Benson.
Thank you very much, John. It's great to be here.
Well, make sure we get the first name correct. I know you were addressed to someone, you got a gift or were presented something recently with the wrong name on it.
Robert. I was Robert T. Benson. I can joke that was my evil twin out there. I've been called a lot of things, but that's fine.
Excellent. Then Dr. Benson will be here to respond to your questions and comments, and we'll also be welcoming Dr. Aaron Thompson, EKU professor and vice president for academic affairs with Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education. During this hour, we welcome your phone calls with questions or comments. 800-621-8890, 800-621-8890. The line is open right now. Feel free to get on the line, and you may have to wait for a few minutes, but we will certainly try to get everyone on if you get on the line. You can also send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com is the address there. You can post the comment on the WEKU Facebook page or send a tweet to the address @WEKUEST. So we're actually kind of venturing out here with all of these ways of communicating, and we encourage you to use the one that's most convenient for you. Dr. Benson, before we get into some questions, I'm wondering if you heard WEKU's report from back in April when you were hired.
I did. Yes, sir.
Well, you're going to hear it again because we want to share that with our listeners, so those who may not have heard it. Back in April, WEKU News Director Charles Compton reported that Dr. Michael Benson, who at the time headed Southern Utah University, was chosen after a closed-door session of the EKU Board of Regents. Here is that very interesting report.
When changing to new management, the transition is rarely smooth.
President, this is Craig Turner with Eastern Kentucky University. Is Dr. Benson available?
I think you've got wrong number.
I do? Okay.
On his second try, Board of Regents Chairman Craig Turner did connect with Michael Benson, and Benson accepted the job as president of Eastern Kentucky University.
If you could see me through the phone, I've got an ear-to-ear grin right now, and I can't wait to get started. So thank you for the trust that you've placed in us collectively, and I can promise you that we will deliver on what we've promised to do, and I cannot wait to begin work there in Richmond with all of you.
Benson takes over an institution with shrinking enrollment that's undergone dramatic budget cuts and staff reductions. Turner says the new president can now be the good cop and help heal staff morale.
But I think at the same time, he's in a position as well aware that he'll have to make tough decisions, which is obviously part of this process.
President Benson will probably visit the Richmond campus again next week. The Regents hope he can assume the presidency in early August. He replaces EKU President Doug Whitlock, who retires this summer. For WEKU News, I'm Charles Compton.
That report from WEKU News back in April when Dr. Michael Benson was announced as the winning candidate for president of Eastern Kentucky University. Dr. Benson, what appealed to you about this position at EKU?
Well, hearing that report kind of had some flashbacks. That was my wife's birthday, April the 5th, so I'll always remember getting that call from Craig. And yeah, we had some challenges getting connected.
Were you aware of that when
called? I didn't. And they called the second time. It came right through, but I don't know who they called.
I'm glad they did it. They did it publicly, obviously, so that a media such as our station could capture that moment. But why did you apply and consider this position?
Well, quite frankly, we were very happy in Utah. While I grew up in Texas, my family's in Utah. My wife's family's there. Professionally, I've spent my entire career there. But I had a wonderful – I got a call in late January that I had been nominated for the position, and I didn't know much about Eastern Kentucky, so I had the chance to come out for a site visit in February and kind of get a feel for the place. And I came home after the trip and told my wife, Debbie, I said, you know, this is a really unique opportunity, a campus that really is on the cusp, I think, of some great things. Wonderful tradition. The presidents, the faculty, the staff, the administration, and all the previous administrations have worked very hard to put a really solid foundation in place. But also it had the potential to do, I thought, some really interesting and wonderful things. So, again, it wasn't that we were out there looking for a chance to move, but it was an opportunity we really couldn't turn down.
You delivered your first convocation address just last week, and there's been much media reporting on that address. And I've listened to it. I was unable to attend, but sound like you started off on the right foot in terms of interaction with university faculty and staff. How did you perceive your performance and the reaction?
Well, I told Chairman Turner and the other members of the Board of Regents and the reallocation task force, for example, that they've really set up the president, I think, to be in a very enviable position. The table set, and we could move forward with some additional resources. And I tried to kind of spell out, I think, a very positive forward-thinking sense for the university. It's gone through some difficult challenges. I think it's weathered them fairly well, and now is the time to move forward. And we talked about people, which I think is our most – I know it's our most important asset, is our human capital. We talked about places, a sense of place, taking pride in the campus, beautiful, and then talked about programs. So I hope we got it off to a good start. I've heard positive feedback.
What major challenges specifically do you see right now?
Well, I think one thing we touched on was to make sure that EKU knows who it is, where it's going. It fits fulfills a niche within the system here in Kentucky and the Commonwealth, that we kind of carve out a unique opportunity or a unique place for us within that system and within our region. And that, as I've said before, the true test of a place is that in the kind of pantheon of choices, a student, a faculty member, a staff member chooses you. You've stood out in such a way to distinguish yourself as a campus to make it attractive to those potential students. So we have some challenges moving forward, but I think really the sky's the limit.
In the report that Charles Compton put together and that we just listened to, he made reference to shrinking enrollment and dramatic budget cuts. Would you consider that accurate and those issues of concern?
Well, I get a weekly, every Monday morning enrollment report, and our enrollment is actually not shrinking. It's we had a nice we hit our mark with our freshman class. Our transfer student population was slightly down, but we made up for that in graduate education. So when the enrollment numbers come out, and I know CPE has a certain moment in time, kind of that point in time where we have to report our enrollments, I think we're going to be right where we need to be. In terms of the budget cuts, I want to make sure people understand they weren't so much cuts as they were reallocations. The idea was to put the word out that we wanted to take a portion of our budget and set it aside and determine what exactly we wanted to focus on moving forward. So, yes, we carved it out of our budget, but it's still there. It's not like it went away, but we're going to redirect it in areas where we think it's going to have the most benefit.
The employee retirement incentives that were offered, early retirement buyout, was apparently quite successful.
It was, yeah. And I really want to commend my predecessor, President Whitlock. He's number 11. He calls me number 12. He pops by the office periodically to check in on me, and I really appreciate that. But they did, I think, a terrific job in spelling out options for employees if they did want to take that early retirement or that buyout option if they were at a point in their life and their kind of career arc that was enticing to them. It worked fairly well, and I hope the campus has weathered it. I have a feeling they have, and there's a collective sense that it's time to move forward now.
So no additional cutbacks, no second shoe to drop?
To drop? Not that I know of. I mean, the chair of the board and other members of the Board of Regents have said they're pretty happy with what's happened thus far. It's not to say that we may not make some tweaks moving forward, but for now we're where we need to be.
How will you and your administration take this university to the next level, and really, what is the next level? I know it's very, very early and probably unfair to ask you too many specifics about such matters, but I'm sure you have some ideas.
I do have some ideas, and again, in place is a really solid foundation. Our task, I believe, is to, again, carve out that unique niche for EKU, to promote it, to promulgate it, to get out in the high schools, to make sure we're getting our share of the high school juniors and seniors that are considering college, and the EKU is on their short list. It's to tell our story. It's to tell them that come to a campus where you're not going to get lost among 25,000 other students. It's a place where we really pride ourselves in creating a nurturing, caring environment where there'll be small classes taught by full-time faculty, and we'll have the advising in place that's necessary. We'll create these living learning communities in our freshman and sophomore housing, which, as you know, is required for those students to live on campus, that we create extracurricular opportunities. If a student wants to get involved in a service club or a Greek society or a religious organization, there'll be chances to come and be a part of the campus, not to get lost in a sea of kind of nameless students. And so I hope that people recognize that we're going to build on that foundation, but also take it, as you said, to the next level, raise some additional private resources, improve our facilities, get really aggressive in going after our alumni that may have lost touch with the institution. So in the aggregate, we've got a lot to do.
We're speaking with Eastern Kentucky University's new president, Dr. Michael Benson. We encourage you to get on board, and we'll give you the phone numbers and the contact information in a minute. Dr. Benson, we need to take a break in about a minute, but if you're efforts at Eastern Kentucky University are successful. You talked about getting lost in the sea of 25,000 students. I guess the current enrollment is what, in the range of 15?
We're about 15,000 students.
If your efforts are successful, is that enrollment likely to grow and the students will find themselves in the midst of a few more comrades?
I still need to do some due diligence as it relates to what's our kind of ultimate sweet spot. What can the campus hold in terms of infrastructure and both our faculty and advising needs. But I don't think we want to get too big. I mean, that's one of the, again, hallmarks of a campus like EKU and the beauty of the system in Kentucky. If you want to go to a larger campus, there are other larger campuses. But if this is the place for you, we're going to go after you and sell you on all the things that are unique to our campus.
This is Eastern Standard. We're talking with President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University, and in a few moments we're going to welcome Dr. Aaron Thompson to the conversation. You're invited to call in with your question, 800-621-8890. Be prepared to pass your question along to Julie Tennell, who is answering the phones, 800-621-8890. We'll give you our email address and other contact information in just a moment. This is 88.9 WEKU. This is Eastern Standard at 88.9 WEKU and our network of WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen. We have with us Dr. Michael Benson, the new president of Eastern Kentucky University. And we're also welcoming now Dr. Aaron Thompson, who is a professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies at EKU. And Dr. Thompson, who received his Ph.D. from the University of Kentucky. We need to acknowledge our friends up the road in Lexington. He's also vice president for academic affairs with the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education, senior vice president. Dr. Thompson, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, John.
Let me remind our listeners that you can call in 800-621-8890. Send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Not seeing the first email here yet, so you could be the first by writing to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com with your question or comment. Or go to our Facebook page, post a comment right there from the WEKU Facebook page, or send us a tweet. Our address for this program is at WEKUEST. So we invite you to get on board, and obviously we've got a phone ringing here in the studio, a leftover from fund drives. So good. Julie Tennell will take care of that for us. Dr. Thompson, tell us more about the Council on Post-Secondary Education.
Well, the Council on Post-Secondary Education is the coordinating body for higher education in Kentucky. We are kind of unique nationally because we have the charge, if you will, to be the coordinating body for public higher education as well as the licensing body for private education and for-profit education with those that offer baccalaureate degrees. But we also do some other things that many coordinating bodies don't do, such as set tuition, approve programs, review programs. And we also set the statewide strategic agenda for public higher education. Of course, we do that not in isolation. We do it with the solidarity of the other universities and colleges.
Strategic agenda. What's involved
strategic
in that?
Agenda, what that is that we are charged with looking at what the citizens of Kentucky will need as far as the higher education goals. So what we do is we set those higher education goals and strategies at a very high-level policy, in a high-level policy manner. For an example, this year's strategic agenda is called Stronger by Degrees, or the last 5 years. We have two more years left in this one. Whereas we target four particular areas that we ask the universities and colleges to work with us to achieve for the citizens of Kentucky, like college readiness, student success, research and economic development, and then we have innovation as one of our areas also. So we are charged in the manner of helping the universities and colleges achieve what they're set out to do with their strategic plans, if you will, to achieve that agenda.
What are the major issues right now within those agenda?
Well, the number one, we have a lot of number one issues, I will tell you, and I guess, Mike, good to see you, Michael.
Thank you.
But I guess, as we mentioned earlier, that we're focused heavily on the college readiness agenda with P-12, and we're looking at getting more of our students college ready before they come to post-secondary education. And what we know is that if you're not college ready, you have about half of the opportunity of graduating as those that are college ready. So a part of our agenda is working with K-12 to prepare students before they get to us, so it increases the likelihood of completion. Now, another large area, and we really focus on this, is college completion. But when we talk about college completion, we're talking about it in a quantitative and qualitative sense. I mean, we're pushing for higher graduation rates, closing the gaps. We're pushing for more college degrees to be given. But we're also pushing for the academic quality. We want to make sure that when our students graduate, that they have the kind of knowledge, if you will, not just the degree, but the kind of knowledge that can be employable, the kind of knowledge that can make them better citizens for the state, the kind of knowledge that increases the likelihood that we're going to increase economic value in the state as well as civility. So that's some of the items, too. And we have to do it in a very innovative way. We have to do it in a very efficient way, a very effective way. As Eastern just went through the process of reallocation to look at how they can target their dollars to get the best outcome, if you will, you know, the investment process. Well, we're charged with doing that, too.
How does Eastern and the Commonwealth universities, how do they compare in terms of national averages for college completion? And I know that's obviously an important issue because many people try college and they say they tried it, didn't like it, and then that's when they disappear, huh?
Well, that's right. And we have to really focus on that issue. But before I answer that direct question, just let me tell you where Kentucky has been in the last 10 years. Between 2000 and 2009, Kentucky was number one with adults with a college degree. We had the greatest improvement in that area. Hmm. We were also number one in six-year graduation rates for our four-year institutions, Eastern being very much a part of that. We were also number one in undergraduate credentials awarded per 1,000 18 to 24-year-olds. Which our KCTCS institutions mainly take part in that process. We were number two in young adults between 25 and 44 with a college degree. And we were number three in graduation rates of two-year public institutions, and we were number five in undergraduate credentials. So I will tell you, Kentucky has had the largest improvement of any other state in the nation since the beginning of the decade. Now, with that in mind, we also know that we have a long way to go. I think Dr. Benson would agree, as well as the other presidents in the state, would say that we have to be able to focus on the students that we have. This is an area we haven't done a very good job in. We get them, but we still have a very high first to second year retention rate. I mean, very low first to second year retention rate. And even our sophomore, junior, and senior rates of persistence aren't nearly as high as some of the others in the nation. So we know where our holes are at. I mean, doing a SWOT analysis, we see that. And so our goal is to really push hard. If you got them, it sounds like EKU may have a very good freshman year. Now the job of EKU, Dr. Benson and his staff and faculty, is how do we keep those? And
you
how
among,
do we keep
you
them
among
engaged?
Them.
Yes, as a matter of fact, even though I still hold the title here, it's been a while since I've been on campus working, but this is my home. You're absolutely right.
Dr. Aaron Thompson, he is the Senior Vice President for Academic Affairs with the Kentucky Council on Postsecondary Education. Dr. Michael Benson, President Benson, is with us on Eastern Standard at WEKU as we invite you to interact with us. We have a bit of a technical issue here, so when you call in, we're going to ask you to pass your message along to Julie Tennell, who is on the phones this morning, or you can just send it directly by email, WEKU Eastern Standard@gmail.com. Go to our Facebook page and post there, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. Who will be the first to tweet to our program this morning, at WEKUEST? We did have a call, by the way, gentlemen, from Brandy from Lexington. That was the line that was ringing earlier. She mentioned her experience at EKU and how she hoped her 3-year-old daughter will attend as well. Sounded like she had a positive experience. So thank you for that feedback, Brandy, and feel free to let us know more about your experience if you still have more that you'd like to say. Dr. Benson, hearing Dr. Thompson here discussing the nature of higher education in the Commonwealth, what is your perception of the students who come to Eastern Kentucky University? Do we know something about them demographically? Are they from Kentucky? Are they coming from elsewhere? What percentage comes from these various locales?
Well, let me start by saying how pleased I am to share the program with Aaron, who this is his home, and we're very proud of him and his contributions to the CPE. It's a great system in that they are a coordinating council that provides some direction, excuse me, and some helps kind of manage what each institution is doing. So, as I said at the outset, our niche within that system is very important. An effective system is one where there aren't a lot of redundancies, where you say, this is our specialty, this is what we want to do well, and we'll complement what comes out of KCTCS or Bluegrass or even UK or U of L or other institutions like Western and Northern. The beauty of living in a place like this, too, is I've come to appreciate in a very small, relatively small geographic area location, we've got some great institutions. Mm-hmm. You've got Center College up the road. You've got Berea down the road. You've got Moorhead that's not too far away. You have Eastern. And what a benefit that is to our local population and to the kids that come here. These are huge economic drivers for these communities. We're large employers of people here. We hope to provide a good way of life for these people. So the students, to your point, John, the students that come to Eastern, yes, we service our service area, and enrollment management is really a science these days. I mean, we can break it down and know exactly where our students come from, the predominant high schools that are those feeder high schools, percentage of our population is from the region or out of state or even international. And one thing I really want to focus on is trying to create a campus. It's this way already, but even enhance it, where everybody feels welcome. Regardless of your religious affiliation or your political persuasion or whatever, you can come and feel like you have a place and you belong. And we can disagree, but we cannot be disagreeable. We want to create that nurturing environment where college is a place where you can explore and try different things and go into 3 or 4 different majors like I did. pre-med and biology is what persuaded me I wasn't going to be a doctor, or at least the kind that can fix people. our predominant demographic is that student that comes from Eastern Central Kentucky and many times is the first generation college student. And think about the change, the transformational change that has on, yes, their life, but the generations going forward.
Just in the last year and a half or so, Eastern opened a new science building And I know that in your convocation address, Dr. Benson, you referred to plans and efforts to create yet another science building. I guess we still have science programs that are spread out and not in the new facility that just opened recently.
And the new facility is just top drawer. I mean, I've been in a lot of undergraduate and graduate science buildings, and I don't think I've seen anything nicer. We do have some of our faculty still in more science and some other locations. It'd be great to have everything under one roof, all the laboratory space, the lecture space, the breakout space, office space. So our big focus and our push with together with CPE and our other institutions is to see if we can get phase two funding for that this year.
We do have a couple of messages from our listeners as we encourage you to get on board and send us a tweet at WEKUEST, email us WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. Go to our Facebook page and post there, or call 800-621-8890. We apologize sincerely. What happened? Technically, our headphone amplifier dropped out. So here in the studio, we can't actually hear if we get a caller on the line. We'll get that fixed. But apparently not going to do so this morning. So if you call in 800-621-8890, you want to pass a question along or a comment, we'll certainly pass that along to our guest, Dr. Aaron Thompson and President Benson. Eli from Madison County actually called in and has a question about the president's vision for the aviation program, since it is unique in Kentucky.
Well, I appreciate that question because I was out at the airport yesterday. I went out with Congressman Andy Barr, and I served on the airport board in Cedar City, Utah, where I came from. And I wanted to be a pilot, as it turns out, but other things happen, but I love aviation. And our program really is unique. We have this kind of central airport that is in desperate need of additional apron space, some hangar space. Our program is really, I think, unique in Kentucky. And if you've been reading the newspaper recently, you'll see that there's going to be this huge shortage of pilots in the next 10 to 15 years. And some of these are coming out of the military with the GI Bill, and they want additional fixed wing or even rotary wing training. And I think together with the county, in concert with Congressman Barr and hopefully some additional federal dollars, we'd like to step up what we're doing out there at the airport and really support that program because it fits a really unique need for our state.
Excellent. Again, get on board with your questions or your comments for President Michael Benson or for Dr. Aaron Thompson. Dr. Thompson, want to get your assessment of what you see are the major issues facing Eastern at the moment. As we talk about statewide, are there some things that or expectations you may have or the Council on Postsecondary Education, your colleagues there have expressed about, gosh, we hope that Benson will do blank at Eastern?
Well, I have a list.
No. Have you presented it? This would be a great time.
A couple of items, and I'll answer in this manner. I'm from Clay County, Kentucky, and I'm the son of an illiterate coal miner. I'm not that old, even though I'm a little bit older than Dr. Benson. But I will tell you, Eastern still serves that purpose. I mean, they still give people hope. So one of the hopes that I have personally and professionally is that Eastern still recognizes that mission, that they can take someone like me, if you will, and create a whole generation, if you will, after me, a very educated groups of folk who can contribute to our society. So that's my big hope. Now, more specifically, I mean, we hope that Eastern and Dr. Benson takes a strong look at everything from programs to and I'm sure he's already started this, a deep SWOT analysis, as I know his staff has, the provost and others, to look at exactly what we need to do to increase completion, especially, to be able to push the envelope a little stronger for people that tend to be a little more disenfranchised, whether they're underprepared or low income or underrepresented even. The other thing, too, is that we hope that this can be done in unison with a lot of our other institutions. We fight and we struggle to get more money in higher education. This is always, no matter what, going to be from this point on an issue that we're going to have in Kentucky. So you're really going to have to use your resources that you have as efficient and as effective as you possibly can. So our hope is that he does that, too, along with increasing completion rates. But the other item, too, is that the campus is beautiful, and I love this campus. I know how tough it is to make sure that you have enough money in the deferred maintenance pool, but the infrastructure cannot fall around you. And it's more than just building new wings of the science building. It's making sure that what resources that we have that we can use effectively to keep up those infrastructures that we can still use and be to help the students. And one last big item, you know, we can spend a lot of money on programs and products, if you will, but fidelity is important, you know, living out the idea that if you're going to do anything, do it with best practice in mind. So our hope is that he will do that also. Now, that's not a statement about our former president. Dr. Whitlock and I are very good friends, and I think he's done a wonderful job at EKU. But you always are presented with a new baseline if you come in new. So the hope is that you build off of that baseline.
Dr. Aaron Thompson with the Council on Postsecondary Education for the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and President Michael Benson here in the studio until the top of the hour, here to respond to your questions, your comments, and you may send them to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at WEKUEST. We're grateful for those who've called in to 800-621-8890 and apologize sincerely that we're unable to actually put your call on the air since we can't hear it here in the studio. What do you see as major challenges facing President Benson? What are your expectations for the new president of Eastern Kentucky University? What advice would you offer? I'm sure somebody out there, from their experience in the community or their perceptions from either close at hand or from afar, will have some advice for President Benson. Please pass those comments along. We'd love to hear from you. Again, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Go to Facebook or send us a tweet at wekuest. The phone number, once again, 800-621-8890. Eastern Standard continues for another 20 minutes after a brief pause on WEKU. This is Eastern Standard on 88.9 WEKU. I'm John Hingsbergen with our guest, President Michael Benson, the 12th president of Eastern Kentucky University, and Dr. Aaron Thompson, EKU faculty member, as well as senior vice president for academic affairs with the Kentucky Council on Postsecondary Education. Gentlemen, we do have a couple of comments from listeners. Let's first of all pass on the message from Greg from Hazard, who has a son getting ready to attend college. What would entice him to come to EKU, and what options for music while pursuing a backup program?
So music, did he say music?
Yes, music.
Well, I just came from a meeting with our new director of bands. And
you're getting around very quickly.
Well, I am. He wanted me to be in a halftime show, and I'm not going to say any more, so just stay tuned.
Oh, wow.
But he, a new faculty member who came out of the conservatory at Missouri, Kansas City, and was talking about how our marching band, I think, is currently at 100, and he'd like to grow that to 200. So if Greg plays a horn instrument or drums or whatever, we'd love to have him as part of the marching band. You know, it really, to his particular situation, he needs to decide exactly what he wants to go into, and it may well be that we've got the perfect program for him. Hmm. We have these, as we call them, centers of excellence and programs of distinction, where you can come here and get something you can't get anywhere else. But to Aaron's point, too, and a really important point, or an important element of what we offered at Eastern is that opportunity to transform someone's life that has that generational effect moving forward. So I would be happy if I'll be happy to connect with Greg, and he can come see me, and we can talk about his son's options.
Okay, excellent. Contact the president's office.
Sure.
At Eastern
Kentucky. 622-2101 is all the right phone number.
622-2101. Dr. Thompson, your response to Greg and his question regarding his son.
Well, as a former student and faculty at EKU, I will tell you that the most important piece of this, whether Greg's son goes in music or another program, what I like about EKU, that you have faculty that are second to none nationally and internationally, and you can talk to them. You can visit with them one-on-one, and we know that faculty engagement with students in and out of the classroom is number one when we think of student success. So I would argue that, Greg, if you want your son to come to EKU, what he will get is that personal one-on-one attention from folk who know what they're doing. So that would be my charge.
As a relative newcomer to the campus here at Eastern, I will say that I have found this to be a very comfortable campus. Seems to not be very pretentious. Seems that professors, even the president, are fairly relaxed and friendly and approachable, accessible. I assume, Dr. Benson, you'll be visible on campus. Any plans? Like, you know, are you a president who is likely to wander through the Powell Student Center and interact with students?
Absolutely. We had our freshman picnic on Sunday night and had tens of hundreds of students there, and it was great fun because I have three little children, ages 6, 5, and 2, and they were all there in their maroon shirts with my wife, and you'll see a lot of us around town. I mean, we bought a home here just off of campus, and we really want to become integral parts of the Richmond community. So, yes, please come by and see me. I have an open door, open phone, open email policy. So if people have concerns or whatever, they can contact me directly.
Speaking of email, writing to us via WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, Anna of Rosedale Avenue. Not sure if that's Lexington or from Richmond area or what community. But Anna writes, welcome to Kentucky, Dr. Benson. I'm a fairly recent addition to Richmond myself, and here's some adverse comments about the college from some, not a lot, longtime residents. The college is vital to the economic welfare of this area. It is a symbiotic relationship. I would love to see the gown and town relationship strengthened. Do you have some community outreach plans?
Well, I appreciate very much that comment. Had a chance to meet with the mayor yesterday, Mayor Barnes, met with the city commission. We have to be good stewards of the place. Our students, as you know, come in mass, and it kind of empties out in the summer. But when they come in the fall, and just by nature, college students tend to be somewhat myopic in their perspective in that college is a great time, and they're about studying and having a good time, but they also have to realize that they're citizens of a larger community, and that with that, citizenship comes responsibility. So I told our freshmen on Sunday, remember that. Remember that when you go out into the community, you represent EKU. And I would say to our store owners and business operators that these students are in many ways the lifeblood of this community, and it serves both of us to make sure that town-gown relationship is a healthy one. It goes both ways, and we'll continue to work on that, but I stand ready to help any way I can to help ameliorate that situation.
Last year, right around this time, I guess it was in July, Eastern was the host for a conference of the International Town Gown Association, I believe it's called, and a couple of international representatives as well as people from colleges across the U.S. Seemed like a very dynamic group, and I get the impression that Eastern is very involved in that, and as you, I'm sure, already know.
Well, I've already heard from several people. We need to host, for example, the Class A, is that what it's called, the Class A basketball tournament, which I guess we used to do, and there's no reason we shouldn't see if we can accommodate it with our Division I athletic schedule. Have things like that where we draw people to the campus. They go out and spend money in the stores and eat at restaurants, but it's also a captive audience in the sense that those are all potential EKU students that we want to kind of recruit while they're on campus. So we're going to do a lot more of that as well.
Here's a question from a caller. Linda, a professor at Union College, has a question for Dr. Thompson. What do you see as the role of small liberal arts colleges in Kentucky in the coming years?
Well, I'm a liberal arts college fan, to be honest with you, and I think that I would like to see more relationship building between our four-year institutions, our community colleges, and our liberal arts colleges. We really aren't in competition. I think people look at it that way. We have plenty enough students to go around, and working together, we can be more efficient. So my hope for Dr. Benson is that the service region that EKU serves also have a lot of those liberal arts colleges there, and we can create relationships in helping them to be successful as well as helping us to be successful in those regions. But I see it as a potential. I see it as an opportunity. I see it as a situation where people like Union College, liberal arts colleges like Union College, with her mission, is serving a vital audience. And with Union College, especially in eastern Kentucky in the mountains, it really serves a mission as it always has. So I hope the growth continues there, and I hope that EKU and other institutions become your partners.
Thank you, Linda, for that question. We still could entertain some questions or comments by telephone at 800-621-8890. Again, Julie Tennell, our membership coordinator here at WEKU. Many of you maybe already know Julie. She is on the phones here and will be here with us every Thursday during Eastern Standard, answering phones, 800-621-8890. And in future weeks, we hope to be able to put your voices on the air. Send us a tweet at WEKUEST, email WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. It's a mouthful of contact information. Dr. Benson, here's a message from Matthew, who seems to be involved in veterans activities, and he writes, "Good morning, President Benson. I have a question about a comment you made earlier in the show. You stated that Eastern needed to make sure they have the resources to accomplish their mission, as Eastern is a teaching college. I'm a recent graduate of EKU and will start my graduate degree at one of the top programs in my field next week. Much of my ability to build myself up academically and equip myself with the skills needed to be competitive at the graduate level was my exposure to undergraduate research. The experience of researching, presenting at professional conferences, and networking with other academicians and student researchers is invaluable. Your predecessor put very little into undergraduate research, cutting much of the funding to the Office of Undergraduate Research. Where do you see the balance between research and, with quotes around it, teaching?"
Well, first off, I commend him for getting into a top-flight program and wish him well. It sounds to me like a lot of that came from his experience on our campus, and we're proud of him. I've seen, because I write a lot of letters of recommendation for students who want to go to graduate school, and with the uber-competitive environment now for all graduate programs, students have to come with a portfolio that includes, yes, good grades, it includes the community service, it includes all those things, but more and more these screening committees are looking at some kind of undergraduate experience with a research project. You know, as he said, presenting with a paper with a faculty member, a journal, a refereed journal article, some kind of semester-long or year-long project with quantifiable results. Or data, and so we're going to take a hard look at what we're doing and do it even more, because our job really is to create, like Aaron said, we got to focus on retention and graduation rates. Those kids that want to go on to graduate programs, give them the kind of whole quiver of arrows, if you will, that includes some of those extra things that will distinguish them from other applicants into those programs. So we're going to invest into those undergraduate research opportunities.
Matthew, thank you for submitting that question to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. By the way, we want to let you know that we will encourage you to continue conversations of these topics. If there's an issue that comes up during this program, you want to continue that conversation on Twitter or on the WEKU Facebook page, please feel free to do so. And any other messages you may send after the fact for the program for Dr. Thompson or President Benson, we will make sure we forward those as well and keep them in the loop. Here's a message from Fred. Fred writes, "Apparently EKU's online programs have contributed to enrollment in a significant way. Do you see this emphasis in online growing?"
Yes, he's exactly right. When I talked about our enrollment increases, we've had dips in a few areas, but not in our online. And that's the wave of the future. I certainly don't want to ever cannibalize our undergraduate experience, really the hallmark of the EKU experience, in favor of graduate programs, of online programs, because we offer actually some degree programs entirely online. I see them as a complement, as a way to offer a course that in some instances is a hybrid, where you do some online, you do some face-to-face. Students live they live and learn differently these days. And our task as educators, I'm speaking for Aaron and myself and everybody else in this endeavor, is to come up with those the means, the modicums to teach in a way that is the most efficient and effective for these students. But online is certainly something we do and do particularly well, and we'll continue to do it.
Dr. Thompson, statewide.
Yes, I mean, that's one of our metrics is online education, but I appreciate the way Mike phrased it. It's not in lieu of traditional face-to-face education. It's offering another venue, and there are people that are place-based. There are people that are digital, more digital than I am, I mean, that are younger. So it serves a purpose. As a matter of fact, We look at this strongly in the state, and we know that hybrid education or blended education tends to produce fairly wonderful outputs. It looks like more than face-to-face or regular online. So the point is that, yes, we hope to see new venues happening in this area, especially for our adult learners. We're pushing that big in the state now, as well as really for our digital learners. Now, the other, I want to add one other piece on undergraduate research, which is a part of our strategic agenda also. Undergraduate research serves, in addition to what Dr. Benson said, also serves as a great engagement activity, not only for the student, but also for the faculty, because we know that research informs teaching. So it's not like it's one or the other. Now, EKU isn't a research-extensive institution. So I also appreciated Mike Benson saying that we know what we're supposed to do here. That doesn't mean that you also don't do research, undergraduate or graduate research. It means that the focus is on informing our abilities to be great teachers and helping our students get the most. But good professors, good teachers will be engaged in the research endeavor in some manner. And I think that undergraduate research clearly helps students achieve not only knowledge and great resumes, but also helps them to stay engaged in all their other activities on campus.
We have a few minutes remaining in today's Eastern Standard with Dr. Aaron Thompson of the Kentucky Council on Postsecondary Education and President Michael Benson. Please feel free to call in with your question or comment, 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to get your comment on the air or get your question answered if we have time to do so. Dr. Benson, a couple of items you mentioned during your convocation are issues such as funding for a reading porch and plans for a new pedestrian mall on campus. Talk about those.
Well, they're not going to cost that much, but I think there's going to be a lot of bang for the buck, as they say. The Knowles, Ron and Sherry Lou Knoll, have been very generous to the university. They helped fund what I think is one of the most unique library spaces I've ever seen, the Knoll Studio, which you go anytime during the day, and it's this magnet of activity. And we wanted to create and replicate, really, a similar outdoor space. And so the reading porch was the idea that was broached with them from our library personnel, Carrie Martin and Bettina Gardner, and I met with them, and we pitched the idea, and they really liked it. The challenge was put on that side of the Crab Library, this beautiful porch, but it overlooks what is now not a real beautiful space. And so we want to create a pedestrian mall, because if you go down any time during the day, it's kind of this intersection of people walking different directions. And so make it more pedestrian-friendly, beautify it, take out the vehicular traffic. We, of course, have to maintain a fire lane. But the view toward the Weaver Health Building, with that beautiful Georgian facade, we want to have these two buildings kind of talk to each other. And I'm trying to sound like an architect, because in another life I would have loved to have been an architect, because I love buildings. But, you know, little things like that that create these aha moments for a potential student that may be walking around campus with their parent and comes around the corner and says, wow, I mean, look at that space. You know, students are out there. They're reading. They're conversing. They're congregating. So you're going to see that. We're going to tackle that project immediately. So you'll see that come into fruition.
And you have funding in place, again, from the Knowles for a part of this project. One of the elements of your record, as I looked back, I found that 2 weeks into your presidency at Southern Utah, the university received its second largest donation in university history. Now, you've been here 2 weeks.
Aaron's got his checkbook, so we're going to
I know that I'm sure that there were circumstances that can't be replicated, but I mean, you have expertise in fundraising. You've done a good job in this area.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it. I mean, some people see it as somehow debasing oneself and going hat in hand, and I don't see that at all. It's a matter of believing in a product, and the product here happens to be education, which I believe in more than anything else. And going to a potential donor and selling him or her on this vision of what their discretionary money can do to help the kind of academic or the enterprise. And so In the case of Southern Utah, we've made a pitch to a graduate who had finished in 1951 and committed $3 million to a new science building. And it just so happened. It was kind of this very fortuitous set of circumstances. And he tragically died of leukemia, but before he died, had committed this donation. And we named our College of Science for him, Walter Gibson.
Well, I'm sure there are many of us out there rooting for President Benson to be successful in this area of fundraising. Dr. Aaron Thompson, President Michael Benson, we are about out of time and really have enjoyed this conversation and wish we could have interacted a little bit better with our listeners by telephone. That just means we're going to have you back, Dr. Benson and Dr. Thompson as well. So I hope that we'll be able to get you both back in here and have another conversation sometime soon.
Thank you, John.
Thank you very much, John. It's been great to be with you.
Eastern Standard is a production of WEKU at Eastern Kentucky University. We're here every Thursday morning between 11 o'clock and 12 noon. We have received assistance today from News Director Charles Compton and reporter Stu Johnson. Our technical director is Jonice Franklin, and as we mentioned, Julie Tennell has been on the phones. A reminder, this show will be available online and eventually as a podcast as soon as we can get that posted, and it will be repeating Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We're interested in hearing from you anytime with your comments, any topic or guest suggestions as well. Again, write to us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. For WEKU and Eastern Standard, I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in.